Eddie Money, my friends, it's no secret that we pre-tape Motor City Static. We usually do it on a Sunday afternoon so that we can play it back at 9 o'clock because, let's face it, we're all middle-aged and we need our nap time. But last Sunday, at a point during the show, we made a point to send good wishes to our dear friend and contributor to Motor City Static, Mark Benka. We didn't realize it at the time because we found out later, but he had passed away earlier that afternoon, May 6th, 12:55 in the afternoon. We've made reference to the fact that Mark was in the hospital for quite some time. He received a liver transplant, and when I talked to him a couple days before he passed, all indications were that he was going to recover. And he was looking forward to leaving the University of Michigan Medical Center and then kind of moving in with his parents, Mihelo and Susanna, to kind of finish his recovery. And then on Wednesday, the 2nd of May, about 5 o'clock in the morning, they found Mark unresponsive. And they did their best to revive him. And for a couple of days, more than a couple of days, actually 4 days, it was touch and go. And finally, when there was no hope left, they decided to let Mark go. So that was on Sunday, May 6th. And needless to say, all of us are damn devastated. Because Mark was a very close friend of mine, and Chuck's, and Hazard's, and Ruth's, and Bill's, and Bob's, and Bonnie's, and RH's, and
Tracy's,
Michael Capato. He was part of our WAYN radio family. And it was a rough week for all of us. It really was. So here we are on Sunday night. We're going to be remembering Mark throughout the broadcast tonight. Yeah, I'm emotional. You can tell. But we'll get through this. If you had a chance to listen to the 10 o'clock time slot last night, normally we have Echoes of the Night, right there, Hazard?
Yep.
But I was at the memorial service, and I figured, you know what? What better way to pay homage to Mark than to replay broadcast he did for you, Chuck?
Yeah.
When you were doing Locket and Rocket.
Was it Locket and Rocket, or was it Sonic
Saturday? No, it was Sonic Saturday. You're right.
I say, where was I on that?
I don't know, but you apparently weren't talking in the microphone then either.
Yeah, what
about that? So I believe it was the first week of January in 2017.
Okay.
He and his son Nicholas, they subbed for you there, Uncle Chuck.
Yes, they did. I'm grateful, too.
And we replayed that broadcast last night, and it was quite a treat. So here we are, and we're going to do a show tonight. And we're going to remember Mark. And I found some clips from some of the shows of the past. And we'll replay those. So pretty much that's it.
We got big words with Ron.
Yep.
I think you might do, I don't know what the heck the origin of these words is.
Yeah, I know. There's kind of some goofy ones.
There's some goofy ones here. But I think Ron, let's see. He won't get that one. He won't get this one. Let's see what else we got on tap here. He may get this one. He's not going to get that one. And he'll get that one. So I have a funny story from yesterday.
Sure.
I'm out. I was supposed to go to my godson Wyatt's baseball game yesterday. But you know, it got rained out.
Yes.
So I had made plans, and I explained this to you and Bill when we went out after Mark's
service,
that I was going to go to the reptile show first and then go to the baseball game because I need to get some supplies for the geckos.
Uh-huh.
Well, it turned out that the reptile show was our pre-Mother's Day event, if you will. And my sister, and my brother-in-law, and two of my nieces, and two of my great-nephews, we all went to the reptile show together. And my sister has a gecko now, by the way.
Congratulations.
You know, I kind of have that effect on people.
Yes, you do.
And anyway, so we go out to dinner afterwards to celebrate Mother's Day, right? Because both my nieces are mothers. My sister, of course, is a mother. So we go out to this restaurant and down by where my niece lives. And the menu was like a novel. The thing was like a notebook, like a college notebook. It had to have 30 pages of food items in there you could order from.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm going through the menu, and I saw the first thing I saw that I wanted to try was called chicken, Parmesan crusted chicken.
Okay.
It came with mashed potatoes and broccoli. And I'm skimming through the menu, and I'm, you know, new restaurants and me, we don't really get along real well because sometimes I have stomach issues when I eat at a new place.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to get something that was pretty, you know, tame. Then there's another thing there. It was called shrimp. Are you ready for this, Ron and Hazard?
Yes. Yep.
I was pronouncing it quinoa.
Yeah.
And I said, well, shrimp quinoa looks pretty good. And I'm going on and on. My niece,
quinoa.
Becky, says,
what the heck?
It's quinoa, Uncle Chuck. If you decide to order it, order the shrimp quinoa?
Yeah.
I don't know. Quinoa.
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 Quinoa?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it is too. That sounded familiar when she said it. So then, of course, I told the story about sepulcher.
Yeah.
And sepulcher.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And my father's chamomile tea.
Chamomile?
Yeah, chamomile.
Chamomile. Yeah. Mispronunciations with Chuck. So it's quinoa, not quinoa.
Yeah.
Quinoa. Shrimp quinoa. But the next time, if I go back to that establishment, which was fantastic, great food, great atmosphere, great service, I'm going to get the shrimp quinoa.
Good for you.
Yeah. So that was my adventure for Mother's Day yesterday. Some great... I've discovered going to the reptile show later in the afternoon is much better. It's not as crowded.
Yeah, less crowds. And
less crowds, and you can actually speak to the vendors.
Because a lot of people get there early,
mill about, the best stuff.
And then they leave.
Yep. You know, they want to get the kids out. It starts at a good time for that. You know, the kids wake up early. What are we going to do today, Dad? Oh, we're going to the reptile show. And they want to get there early and get the best chance at the best stuff, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I just kind of like to look around, and I inquired about this reptile called a Nile monitor. It was a baby Nile monitor. Couldn't have been any bigger than the tip of my... I have small hands. Couldn't have been from the tip of my middle finger to the heel of my hand.
Let me see that hand.
Probably about 5 inches.
That's a normal hand.
Is it? All right.
Yeah.
Probably about... It doesn't feel normal when I'm trying to play guitar.
Okay.
Probably about 5 inches. So I thought, oh, that's kind of a cool little lizard. Maybe, and they're only $25. I'm like, that might not be something I could, you know, handle. So I asked the vendor, how big do they get? 6 to 7 feet.
Oh, my. Oh, jeez.
I was like, no, I think I'm going to pass on that.
No, I would if I were you, no.
And then they had this snake there that I took. It took every ounce of everything I had in me not to bring this thing home. Because it was so gorgeous. Every ounce of everything I had in me and my entire budget for the rest of the month, it would have cost me. I would have been eating a lot of peanut butter and probably coming over here and stealing food and going to Hazard's house and stealing food. You might have seen me in line with the homeless folks at the church there. But I refrained from the snake. I don't know enough about snakes yet. So,
okay. So, we have to read the disclaimer.
Yes.
Tonight's show is dedicated to Mark Benka. And the entire Benka clan. And we'll be reminiscing about Mark in and out throughout the show today. In fact, today's hazard a guess. I have three questions.
The subject is
Banker?
Potpourri.
But it affects Mark Banca.
Okay.
So things that were a part of his life.
Ralph the Sheepdog.
We're going to talk about that too. That was a great eulogy, by the way.
It was entertaining.
It was wonderful.
You know, I decided, since you forced me to stay for the service.
I didn't force you.
And it was in two different languages.
Yes.
I think that counts for two church trips for Chuck.
All right, let's get going here. The views and comments expressed on the following program do not reflect those of the Avondale or Bloomfield Hills school districts, their respective school boards, superintendents, managers, teachers, or staff, or the staff of WBFH, its management, or staff either. In fact, the only person responsible for the content of the following program is
Hazard.
If you happen to be offended by what we say and are forced to flee to your locally designated safe place, we humbly apologize beforehand. We mean no harm and certainly have no agenda. We're just exercising our privilege to take the transmitter out for a short drive this evening. Once we're done, we'll return the keys to the transmitter shack and then duck out the back door. So please, don't call the cops. We can't afford bail. Instead, just relax and enjoy our little old dog and pony show.
It's time to dust off the Atwater Kent and have another go at it. Bloomfield Community Radio presents Motor City Static, the only live and local thing happening this side of the railroad tracks. Turn off that TV. Put down that cell phone. Throw away that trashy novel.
It was the pictures anyway.
We've got a better way to waste your quality time. And all you need to do is pay attention. From the studios somewhere near the Grand Trunk Western, Motor City Static is on the air.
Emanating from the luxurious yet not overly ostentatious confines of a studio near the Grand Trunk Western, this is Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network, heard on two great radio stations, 88.1 WBFH Bloomfield Hills, and the station for alteration, 89.5, the Blowtorch, WAHS, Auburn Hills, Kim McNee, proprietor.
Ron, do you know why we're on two stations?
Why?
Because one isn't big enough.
That's absolutely
correct.
Hey,
we can do bells in stereo now.
Yeah, I brought you a bell, so now we don't have to hand the bell over. The awkward part of our broadcast, when I sometimes forget or you sometimes forget, mm-hmm. And I think they're tuned to the same octave, so let's try it. Ready? One, two, three. So they're good.
Hey, by the way.
Yes.
I was looking at the WBFH website yesterday. And I see that you have a replica of an easy button on the website.
Yes.
But I don't have an easy button yet. I've been asking for an easy button for 2 years.
Okay. I'm embarrassed. I'm sorry.
That's all I want, Ron, is an easy button.
I had one job, and I failed you.
Well, two. Get me an easy button and run the board.
Okay. All right, tonight, amidst our regular fanfare, we're going to be reminiscing and talking about the late Mark Banca, something that I'm still trying to wrap my brain around, because this man, who was part of our WAON radio family, was so full of life. He was just a joy to be around. And I was talking to Mark Thurber, one of Mark's friends at the viewing. And I had to try to explain to him that when I first met Mark, I was a freshman at Wayne State University.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a big, stressful change. You go from high school senior to a freshman at college and then, you know, a major university on campus with 30,000 participants.
And one of them was Hazard.
And what? Yes. Fortunately, we didn't meet till later, but...
Who, you and Hazard?
Yeah. But you go, you take these classes, and no one prepares you for this. It's a culture shock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm.
There's people there from all walks of life.
Yeah, and you know, I'm a shy, scared little guy anyway. Mm-hmm. So I go into this big.
So you say
I am. So you go to this big lecture hall, and you're sitting there for...
Was it in Manoogian?
I think it was. It was Dr. Welch's...
Oh, that's Manoogian, down in the basement.
Yeah, that's where I first met Mark Benka. It was the survey classes. Remember, they'd start you with survey classes. They'd put you in a big lecture hall, and they'd see how many people would stick with it.
Mass Communications 201.
Yeah, that's where we were, a sophomore-level class. And I took it, and some very unique people I met there, and there were two. I think it was Paul Fiedler, but it was Mark Benka for sure. Paul Fiedler, Mark Benka went to school together, I believe.
All right.
And they were friends, and so I met him up there, and he's like, "Hey, what's your name?" I said, "My name's Ron." "My name is Miroslav, but you can call me Mark." And we both got along famously after that, and it was just a joy to finally meet, you know, a new friend.
Mm-hmm.
Because high school, you've got your friends, but then people go elsewhere. They go to the military, they go to university.
And they go to work.
They go to work. And so you end up making a whole new set of friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, right out of the box... To meet Mark Benka and then become one of his friends was just, I was so lucky, so incredibly lucky. So then along comes WAYN Radio, and then I met you guys and met Ruth and Bob and Gordy Oliva and Benita and everyone else.
RH, don't forget about RH.
Yep. He was good. And I was thinking, yeah, we've got three of our members that have left us. R.A. Trenekamp, Bonnie Caprera, and now Mark Benka.
Yep.
Just so sad. So we went to the service on Thursday. And
I found it.
What?
The service. I never go over that side of town.
What?
And I learned something very important that day.
What was that?
So I had a task for Fish Club, Motor City Aquarium Society, to pick up some T-shirts we had ordered and deliver them to the meeting last Thursday night.
Right.
Which I couldn't do because I needed to attend the funeral home.
Service, yeah.
So I'd contacted one of my friends, Randy the truck driver, and said, "Hey, I've got a situation. Can I drop these T-shirts off at your house and you take them to the meeting on Thursday night?" He said, "I'm in Missouri right now." I called him on Tuesday, I think. "I'm in Missouri right now, but I should be home by lunch tomorrow. So just drop them off after work and I'll take them to the meeting for you."
Mm-hmm.
That was on Wednesday. So I get out to my van after work and turn my phone on, because I turned my phone off, you know, which I know Hazard is irritated by that. But anyway, turn my phone on. And there's a message. And it's Randy. He says, "Hey, sorry about your friend. But I got back to the yard and they gave me a route down to South Carolina. So I'm not going to be able to take the shirts. But if you want, you can leave them on the front porch. Put Vic's name on them and call Vic and have him come and pick them up." Now, I didn't exactly feel comfortable leaving hundreds of dollars worth of T-shirts on someone's front porch.
Yeah, they'd be stolen like that.
Something,
yeah.
Or the, you know, some critters get in there or whatever. So I was kind of flustered. So I get home, and I was, you know, sometimes when I have a plan, and it beyond my control, it gets out of control, and the plan goes haywire, I get kind of frustrated. So I took a couple minutes to chill. And then I remembered my other friend from Fish Club, one of my other friends from Fish Club, Chris, lives on my way to the funeral home.
Okay.
So I'm like, this is perfect. I'll drop him off at his house on the way to the funeral home before the meeting. He can take the church to the meeting. Call him up. No problem, right? Now I get to his house, and he lives over by 15 and Hayes. And I say, "You know, I know where the funeral home is, but I have no idea how to get there." Now, Chris is originally from Pennsylvania, and this is my story. I ask him how to get 21 Mile and Romeo Plank. And you know me in directions. We're not best friends,
not
right?
Not at all, no.
So he says, you're going to come out of my subdivision and make a right. Then you're going to go down to Garfield and make a left. Then you're going to go to Clinton River Road and make a right to Romeo Plank and make a left. Right, left, right, left. I can handle that, right?
Right.
Wrong.
Jeez.
I pull out of his subdivision and somehow I end up on Moravian, which means nothing to the people that live on the other side of this city. And I get on the phone with Hazard. Well, what do you do way over there? All you got to do is go up to this street, make a right, take another street, make a left, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, wait a minute, dude. I'm already lost, okay? You're throwing names of streets out at me that I hate. I don't like Utica Road. I don't like Clinton River Road because they have no real direction. They go every direction. So I think to myself, if I make a right here on Moravian and what street was I at, Hazard, when I was talking to you? Moravian and Anyway, if I make a right. Utica.
Yeah.
Moravian and Utica. I can make a right and get back to 15 Mile, then proceed with the right, left directions.
Right, right.
And I found the place, no problem. I was actually early, so I took a nap in the van for a while.
That's good.
And then wandered in and found you.
Yeah.
And we, said our hellos. You introduced me to a couple of folks.
Yep.
And then we went into the green room.
Yeah.
Let's go get a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
So we had a cup of coffee and some cookies. And we were watching the screen that had all the pictures of Mark's life up there.
That's the point that I wanted to mention right
now.
Well,
I'm going to mention it.
Go ahead.
I'm going to steal the show from you this time.
That's fine.
I was amazed. I mean, I knew we were a big part of his family and his life.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of pictures of the WAYN folks out there. And a lot of me.
Yeah.
A lot of you. There's one of him and Hazard hanging out at Sterling Fest.
Yeah.
Before Hazard had the mullet back.
And Mickey, his brother, was telling me, in no uncertain terms, radio was his life.
Oh, he said you guys were his crew. That's
were the crew. And that's why the news of all of this is very hard to take, because I'm half expecting him to show up any minute now.
Yeah, well, you know, those things happen. I can't wait for the story about the bird a little later. I hope you're going to tell that one.
Well, I could tell it or you could tell it.
Maybe between the three of us we could tell the story of the
figure
bird.
It. But the place was packed.
Oh, yes. You had to get in line to go buy the casket. Standing room only for the service.
Yeah, the service was in Yugoslavian
and it was
and
huge.
English. Yeah.
The place was huge.
Yeah.
It wasn't like we were crammed into a closet. This was a big room. Like, what did you say, about half the size of a...
It's like a small theater.
I was going to say about like a quarter to half the size of a high school gymnasium, maybe.
Yeah.
Very nice.
But
place, good accommodations.
Yeah, large family, large amount of friends. He loved his family. Mark Mark loved his friends. Loved life, loved hunting. In fact, at the eulogy, the priest was labeling him the sheepdog for Christ.
you know,
the Wile E. Coyote sheepdog thing was pretty funny, too.
Well, you know, when he said, they read the Bible verse. What's the Bible verse? Psalm 123, was it?
Yeah.
And he says, you know what's wrong with that verse? He said, you know what's missing from that verse? I thought to myself, nothing. It's the Bible. God didn't leave anything out. And then he says, a sheepdog. And I'm like, a sheepdog of all things to be missing from Psalm 23, a sheepdog? And then I was waiting for you to break out in your Bugs Bunny voice at some point. I'm like, oh, this is just going to go everywhere but good when he's talking about Warner Brothers.
Yeah, that's what we need is me heckling from the back of the room.
What's up there, Father?
And that's another thing. Mark did a lot of cartoon voices.
Exactly. That's why I was waiting for the Bugs Bunny voice.
That's hilarious stuff. So we're going to comment more about that as the night goes on. Ron, Chuck, and Hazard. On the Biff Radio Network, remembering Mark Benka here tonight. We've got our regular features, Big Words with Ron, and then, of course, Hazard a Guess coming up. We'll be back with more after these messages.
I love those glasses, Mark.
Do you like these? They're brand new.
Yeah.
Brand new. I'm still getting used to them, and they're bifocals, by the way.
Well, I've jumped into the bifocal bandwagon last September, too.
They're okay. I'm still getting used to them, so I'm just using them right now to drive and to, you know, get myself back into my 45 years of age.
Well, I'm not,
appropriate.
I'm not far behind, my friend. Yeah.
I thought you were 57.
Close. What brand is that?
These are Ray-Bans, baby.
Ray-Bans.
Yeah.
They're very contemporary.
They are. They look pretty hip.
The girl at the eye doctor's said, "You look kind of like a geek." And I said, "So?"
And she wasn't cute, so it didn't matter.
Exactly.
If she was hot, you'd been like, "Well, what do you got, baby?"
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, baby, you're not even cute, so what's your opinion count
well,
for?
Well, it's kind of funny because my wife went in the day before, and when she went to pick up her glasses, mine still weren't done, and they were telling her, they were trying to describe which glasses they were, and she goes, "I can only imagine what he got."
Grandpa glasses.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of excited because March 1st is our second anniversary.
Woohoo!
And I have a little bit of an announcement to make right now.
Am I
now.
Supposed to bring you wood or something? Or
well,
you've already given me wood already, Mark.
Nice. Well, this show's just gone to the toilet.
Yeah, I'm gonna get that phone call from the school board tomorrow. I just know that
you're still on the air. Why?
He gave me that awesome jewelry box that was made out of wood. And go, what the heck are you guys talking about?
And that's a clip from 2010. And before the song, we had another clip from 2010.
That wasn't me and Hazard in the background. Who was that?
No, that was the Chris Brown and Dave Jablinski.
Jabbo. The only man with a definite article.
That was the Chris Brown, yes.
Whatever. And Jabbo has a trademark or something, right?
Something like that, yeah.
So, well, we could trademark Hazard.
Who'd want to? Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network, 88.1 WBFH Bloomfield Hills, 89.5 WAHS Auburn Hills, and online WBFH.FM. Ron Woodables, along with Chuck Riffenberg and Jeffrey Lee Hazard.
Mm-hmm. Big Daddy.
On the Sunday night, remembering the late Mark Benka. Still trying to wrap my mind around that one.
This trail mix is outstanding.
Yeah.
It's very fresh, as are the chips, by the way.
You know, they say that he who dies leaving behind the most friends wins. And, well, just all of the outpouring on Facebook, Chuck, for Mark.
Oh, yeah, there's some great tributes.
Just incredible. And I was just in awe.
Looks like the family got together last night.
Of all the people together. Yeah, Mickey Benka had friends and family over, coworkers, schoolmates. I couldn't make it. I had another event booked, but it was just a wonderful little event.
Yes, it was.
Wonderful little event.
Looked like they had a good time.
Yeah. And I was talking to Mickey and another gentleman, I can't remember, but I think maybe in September when we have a little more time and when everybody goes through the mourning process, I think we need to do something for Mark's birthday, which is on the 13th, which is a Thursday, I believe. Maybe that that Sunday, the 16th or whatever that date is, we can maybe get Mickey and Kathleen, his widow, and Nico and Tatiana. We can get them behind the microphone. We can all reminisce.
That'd be fun.
So we'll do that. But we didn't want tonight to leave us without bringing him up and you know, remembering him and playing some of his music. So that's the whole purpose of that.
Some of his favorite music.
Yeah. All right, I kind of gotten a little bit behind here on the show. Does anyone know what time it is?
It's time for This Day in Rock History with Chuck Riffenberg. What happened, Uncle Chuck?
Well, Imani, a lot happened, and I want to say happy Mother's Day to your mother. Because you do a wonderful job with my intro.
Yes, she does.
And it makes me smile every time. And I'm glad to have another... I have four blood nieces and countless nieces that are, mm-hmm. you know, I've just kind of adopted as my nieces.
Yeah. By the way, I told Imani what you have said.
Mm-hmm.
And she blushed.
Oh, good.
So she really appreciates
I want her to blush.
Your kind words.
I want her to keep doing good intros for me.
Okay.
And anytime she wants to do some, you know, drops or whatever, she can have free will.
All right.
All right. But on this date in 1969, Led Zeppelin became one of the first major British rock groups to appear in Hawaii. When they appeared at the Civic Auditorium, Honolulu, a review in the Honolulu Advertiser stated, "The showmanship exceeded any rock performance here to date. I wondered before the concert if Led Zeppelin could sound as good as their Atlantic album. They sounded better."
Wow.
On this date in 1985, Bruce Springsteen married Julianne Phillips at Lake Oswego, Oregon. Julianne filed for divorce on August 30th, 1988. So it lasted about, 3 years? Yes. A little more than 3 years?
Yes.
Yeah. On this date in 2000, Sean Ryder's Volkswagen Corrado was found abandoned after being used as the getaway car. The former Happy Mondays singer's car was used in an armed robbery on Harry Ramsden's Fish and Chip restaurant in Manchester. £7,000 in cash was taken in the robbery. On this date in 2007, Brian May was under 24-hour security watch after a deranged man announced he was setting off to murder him, then disappeared. Police were hunting for a schizophrenic who left a letter behind at his home blaming the Queen guitarist for his illness. In it, the man said May was an imposter and that he was the real rock star. He signed the letter, Brian May.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Crazy.
On this date, in 2008, the U.S. Postal Service issued a 42-cent postage stamp in honor of Frank Sinatra. The design showed a 1950s vintage image of Sinatra wearing a hat. And finally, on this date in 2011, Like a Rolling Stone was voted as Bob Dylan's best ever song by Rolling Stone magazine, who had asked the opinions of a panel of writers, academics, and musicians to compile a poll to mark Dylan's 70th birthday on the 24th of May. Like a Rolling Stone was described by U2's Bono as a black eye of a pop song, while Mick Jagger praised the simplicity of Desolation Row. Keith Richards argued that the original 1963 solo version of Girl from the North Country, ranked 30th, was superior to Dylan's 1969 duet of the same song with Johnny Cash. And here's that song, Like a Rolling Stone, from Bob Dylan on Motor City Static. Is it just me, or does Hazard have some bedhead going over
there?
He's
got major bedhead going on there. But luckily, this is radio, and it doesn't matter. Like a Rolling Stone there, Bob Dylan.
That came from the MTV Unplugged CD.
All right. You know, you mentioned the Brian May story, where he had to hire someone to protect him. There's a story here in the news that's been this week. A Phoenix woman is facing numerous charges after she allegedly sent more than 65,000 text messages to a man after a first date last summer.
Oh, I heard this.
Many of them containing bizarre threats. This according to Reuters, I believe. No, the Washington Post. Police arrested 31-year-old Jacqueline Addis, or is it AIDS? A-D-E-S? How would you say that? AIDS?
Sounds kind of hot.
Yeah, there you go, Hazard. You want her?
Jeez, Hazard.
They arrested her on May 8th and charged her with threatening, stalking, harassment, and failure to appear in court. This woman discussed the allegations on Thursday last during a jailhouse interview with local CBS affiliate KPHO. She said, quote, "I felt like I met my soulmate, and I thought we could do just what everybody else did, and we could get married and everything would be fine." Adding that she met the man on Luxy, an online dating site for verified millionaires.
Oh, have you tried that one, Hazard?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, that's a new one.
Luxy.
How you spell that?
Oh, verified millionaires. That would leave you out.
L-U-X-Y?
L-U-X-Y.
All right. You don't need to go on there. For one thing, you're not a millionaire, so they're not going to verify you, and you can't go on there.
So I don't know how to pronounce the last name. Is it AIDS or Addis? A-D-E-S. What do you think?
Well, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, anyway, she's... What? Go on.
No, I was going to say... How do you know I don't have a million?
It's true.
It doesn't have to be $1 million.
It says millionaire, which means $1 million. It doesn't mean 1 million cleaning utensils. Now, the funny thing is about that story, Ron.
Yeah.
As Hazard and I, when I tried that dating site thing of years ago,
yeah,
and other friends, both men and women, always complain that they think they make a connection with someone and they never hear from them again.
Right.
This guy didn't have that problem.
No, he didn't. According to police, many of the text messages she selflessly sent included anti-Semitic insults and threats like, quote, "Don't ever try to leave me. I'll kill you. I don't want to be a murderer."
Then nothing says love with I don't want to be a murderer.
Authorities said that AIDS has been sending as many as 500 messages a day since last year, but her efforts to connect with her former date became more extreme last month. That's when she allegedly broke into the man's home and took a bath in his tub.
Oh, my.
Police say she also showed up at his work pretending to be his wife.
Well, I hope she washed the water droplets off the tub, because we know Hazard would have had a baby if he came home and found some water droplets in his tub that he didn't leave there.
Yeah, what up with that?
Yeah,
she added,
love is an excessive thing.
I thought it was many a splendid thing.
No, for her, it's an excessive thing.
Mm, okay.
There's a lot of crazy people in this world, thank goodness.
Yeah, I sit next to one of them every week when we do this show.
Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network, Ryan.
Wait a minute.
Chuck.
You're talking about me.
Yeah.
Hazard.
Oh.
And you on this Sunday night here, remembering Mark Benka, passed away on the 6th, last Sunday, a week ago. And I just going through the Facebook page, and there's a lot of pictures and a lot of great memories and a lot of broken hearts everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Here's the one quick tribute. You asked me on the... at the start of the show, if I could read a few
of
the... So this one says, "Yesterday was one of the saddest days of my life. Saying goodbye to my friend Puka. Every time I hear Bob Seger, I will be reminded of you. Love you, buddy. Mitch."
Yeah. I have a clip here from our birthday party. Not a birthday party. Christmas party. Sorry. Remember the Christmas parties I had?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm still going to have.
Are you?
Yeah.
I thought we gave up on those.
I don't know. Thinking about Mark, I mean, I'm so glad he came to him.
That was
one of the reasons I've got tape on him. So
do it, Puka.
Here's a clip from our 2013 edition. And then after that, we're going to take a station break and we'll be back. Okay?
All right.
If I can't say nothing good about somebody, I don't say anything at all.
I have
dead
to
silence.
I have to let you know that there is a drinking game out there now around the Lions.
It is.
Every
there
time
is.
They screw up, you take a drink. You get plowed by the third quarter.
No, it doesn't take that long. It don't take that long.
You get screwed up after kickoff. Anyway, this is the party okay? Are you having fun?
Yeah,
I like your Christmas decorations.
You like that?
Very nice. And I like the way you change the studio around.
It's more ergonomically correct.
Yeah,
there's more room to sit around.
It's a feng shui.
Feng shui. Yeah.
That's exactly the words I used.
Yes.
See, we think alike. We share a brain.
You and Ruth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Who gets it today?
She does. She has it most of the time.
I was gonna say.
Oh my. Motor City Static on a Sunday night here on the Biff Radio Network.
Why are we playing organ music?
Ron, Chuck, and Hazard. I'm glad you asked, Uncle Chuck. Hazard said, "I need to keep things upbeat. Remember at the service?"
Mm-hmm.
"They were talking about his working at Skate World in Troy?"
Yes.
"So I figured back in the day, this would be an all skate, right?"
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I never...
You never went roller skating?
No. I got a couple funny stories about roller skating, though.
All right. You want to tell them?
Yeah, I'll tell you this one. It's probably one of my best stories in life, actually. It happened when I was in, like, I don't know, fifth or sixth grade.
Before we get into that, do you know who's playing the organ here?
Denny McLean.
That's right.
I went and saw him live in concert at the Eastland Mall.
That's cool.
In 1969?
That could be.
The year after they won the World Series. Or maybe been, might have even been late 68. My mom, I was a huge Tigers fan. My mom took me to the Eastland Mall to see the Denny McLean Band.
Oh, that's cool.
Play at Center Court. So, before it was covered. It's still an outdoor mall.
Yeah. So what's your story?
So roller skating, right? I don't know. I think it was fifth or sixth grade. Safety boys and girls, whatever they call them now. Crossing.
Service squad.
So whatever they are. They were safety boys when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So end of the year roller skating party, right?
Yeah.
I put those damn things on. Sorry, I didn't mean to say damn. Put those darn things on. Promptly fell on my tuchus.
Oh, no.
I'm like, all right, this roller skating thing isn't for Chuck. Plus, it involved girls. You know, I was in fifth grade. I wanted nothing to do with girls.
Really?
Or roller skating.
Okay.
So this is where my negotiation skills first appeared. I took the skates off. I went up to the counter. And I said to the guy working the counter, how much did my school pay for me to rent these roller skates?
Uh-huh.
He said, $250. Why? I said, can I have that in quarters for the pinball machine? Because I am not going out on the roller skating floor, and I might as well have something to do for my $2.50.
That's funny.
I think I pocketed $2 and played a couple games of pinball and called it a day.
Good for you. By the way, we have Hazard Guest tonight.
Oh, we do. We have Big Words with Ron, too.
And one of the questions has to deal with roller skating.
Oh, boy. Hazard was probably a roller skater, I can imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you probably went over there to Skate World, right? Or the one on Hayes there? Is it the one you went to?
15 and Harper.
15? Oh, that's right. They had one there, too. The one on 8 Mile is still open.
Hang on for a minute. The concession stand is now open. Pizza and hot dogs, half price.
All right.
Okay, Chuck, go ahead.
Oh, so yesterday, this is the Big Words with Ron segment too, right?
Yeah, it could be.
Okay, so you know we've talked both on and off the air about how oftentimes we will do things on Motor City Static that show up.
Oh, yeah.
On another radio show.
All the time.
On Monday or Tuesday the following week.
Yeah.
Sometimes they even have bits similar to Hazard a Guess or Big Words with Ron now.
Yeah.
As a regular feature.
We are being ripped off.
We are.
No doubt about it.
So yesterday, I am leaving my house, and I decide I'm going to stop and throw a few dollars worth of gas in the tank because I'm going to drive down to Taylor on the freeway in a rainstorm, and you never know what's going to happen traffic-wise.
Right.
So I stop at this gas station whose name sounds a lot like Sunoco.
Right.
And I'm pumping gas, and you know they have those little screens up there now where they give you information, you know,
gas
two bottles
TV.
Of Coke for a dollar or whatever,
or they'll have gas TV or whatever that is.
Don't forget to take one of our bumper stickers, put it on your car. If we see you, we'll give you free gas, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Yesterday, I see, are you ready for this, Ron?
Yes.
Increase your vocabulary. On the TV screen at the gas station that sounds like Sunoco. I said, Sunoco is now ripping us off. So, I had the forethought to reach into the van and pull out my post-it notes that I keep in there.
Yes.
And my pen and write down yesterday's big word from the Sunoco gas station for us here today.
All right.
You want to know why I keep post-it notes and a pen in my van?
Chuck, why do you keep post-it notes and a pen in your van?
In case someone parks to me so I can leave them a thank you note on their on their car. Maybe suggest them carrying Vaseline so I can get out the next time they park so darn close.
Oh, man.
Never hurts to come out, you know, and say, hey, you know, nice car.
Yeah.
Buy some Vaseline so I don't ding your door next time. Or sometimes it's just fun to do that, you know.
Yep.
Hey, sorry, I hit your car. And then they're their car. There's nothing wrong with it. Oh, that's cruel.
That's called applied psychology.
Yeah. I'll do that next time I go to Home Depot.
Welcome to Metro Detroit's beloved quiz program that not only helps to build your vocabulary, but puts our beloved Uncle Ron in his place. It's time for Big Words with Ron on the Biff Radio Network. As you know, Uncle Ron tends to espouse his opinions with big $5 words that often leaves Chuck and Hazard addled, befuddled, and perplexed. This time, the table is turned to see how yours truly reacts. Can I bluff, guess, or reckon my way to the words they throw at me? You decide on Big Words
with Ron. Now, from the luxurious yet not overly ostentatious MCS studio near the Grand Trunk Western, here's your host, Chuck Rivenberg!
Okay, so we're going to start with the words that our producer gave you with, and then...
All right, let me get my ciphering stick here.
Kind of in honor of Ruth, we're going to throw this gas station TV word at you, see if you know what that means. I found a little bit of information, but we're not going to go crazy with all the background story on the gas station
That's
word,
fine.
Okay? All right, are you ready?
I am ready.
Your first word today, Ron... Its earliest documented use was in 1665.
Wow, that would be 300 years before I was born.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing it's probably from Latin or something, because most words back then are. And our producer did not provide that for me today.
All right.
So we'll go with Latin.
All right.
You have one chance at the definition as a noun.
Okay.
Your word, Ron, or in this case words... are black dog.
Black dog.
It's a one-word definition as a noun. We've talked about it a lot on this show, actually.
Okay.
That's easy.
What's easy?
That one.
That one's easy?
Hazard, Mr. Producer, you just fumble with your
trail
mix there and separate the nuts from the M&Ms from the raisins.
Wasn't there a Led Zeppelin song?
There was.
I was going to say, right? That's all you got to say. Go song.
Led and Zeppelin. It's about this... very noun.
Hmm.
I do believe, isn't it? Song? I don't remember. I think it is. It's got to be.
All right. If I remember the song correctly, I'm thinking...
It was popularized, the term, by Winston Churchill.
Hmm. Well, he suffered from it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's depression.
Yes, sir.
Listen to Ron.
Doesn't even need the sentence today. But I'm going to give it to you now. Ed reacted without thinking. I'm not that depressed, he said, and regretted it. He wanted to talk about the gosh darn black dog, didn't he?
Yeah.
All right, your next word, Ron. This is one I think you're going to have a little bit.
Because you think dogs are always happy-go-lucky.
Mm-hmm. Even the black ones.
Even the black ones. But if you're a black dog, black is darkness.
Yeah.
Darkness is a cloud.
Uh-huh.
A cloud is depression.
Yes.
That's how it's done.
All right. Well, this word, Ron.
But I knew that beforehand. Sorry.
It is a... Got one chance at the definition again as a noun. Mm-hmm. Its earliest documented use was in 1818, and it is from the French.
The Français.
Which, with our regular listeners know, you took in high school.
Yeah.
French class. And, Ron, the word is gobmouche.
Gob. M-O-U-C-H-E.
Yeah, it's from the French.
M-O-U-C-H-E.
Or it might be gobmouche.
Gobmouche.
Gobmouche. Gobmouche.
This one I do not know.
Oh, good.
But I have heard the word gobsmacked.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're gobsmacked by something, you're kind of blindsided. You're surprised.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So am I anywhere near the ballpark on that one?
No.
Oh, man. Does it have anything to do with hair?
No.
Nothing whatsoever?
Nope.
All right, I need a sentence.
My son asked me about buying 80 shares of Nike in his individual retirement account. I didn't care for a company that made shoes for basketball players, telling him only a gobmouche would pay $100 for a pair of smelly sneakers.
So it'd be a fool.
No.
What? Foolish?
No.
Dumb? Idiot?
No.
No.
I really enjoy when you mess up and think you get it.
Read that sentence again.
My son asked me about buying 80 shares of Nike in his individual retirement account. I didn't care for a company that made shoes for basketball players, telling him only a gobmouche would pay $100 for a pair of smelly sneakers. Oh, if only you could get a pair of Nikes for $100.
Yeah, I know. It was like $250, $300.
Something like that, yeah.
That's crazy.
Have you seen the Hazard Edition?
No.
They clean themselves.
It's funny. So it's a noun, right? Gabmush?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got to be some sort of a fool to spend that money. Either you're uneducated or foolish or just plain dumb.
You know, I'm going to give it to you.
Give it to him.
What is it?
A gullible or credulous person.
Yeah.
All right, here's one I think you're going to have no trouble with whatsoever.
By the way, I'm 2 for 2.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you are.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to be 3 for 3 after this one.
I don't know.
This one.
I usually choke on the easy ones.
Yeah, but you'll know this one. Because it's right up your alley. Down your block. Its earliest documented use was in 1705. You have one chance at its definition as a noun. Again, a noun. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Where is it from? 1705. Again, my producer slacked and didn't
probably
give me that information.
French.
Probably from the French or the Latin or the Greek or something.
Yeah, from the French.
How's the snacks, Hazard?
All right.
Okay.
Pork barrel.
Pork barrel?
That's something when it's deep fried.
Yeah.
Those are pork rinds.
Oh. Okay, so this is a political term, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so if you're if it's pork barrel legislation, you throw all the odds and ends into it. It's like a waste mishmash of stuff. It's a collection of...
That's your answer?
Well, give me a sentence.
You can do better than that.
Give me a sentence.
Okay. As revealed in Lights this week, this coalition's weakness is the pork barrel nature of regional development initiatives.
That's a scraps.
And in the definition, there's a big word. I'm going to tell you that, a different big word.
What's the big word?
I don't even know if I can pronounce it. Ingratiate.
Ingratiate or ingratiate?
Ingratiate, I guess.
Yeah.
Ingratiate. Oh, yeah, quinoa.
What? Pardon?
Quinoa.
Okay.
Quinoa.
Well, pork barrel. It's like everything that's thrown in there. That's the definition. I know it.
What's thrown in there? Do they throw in the kitchen sink? Do they make trail mix out of it and throw M&Ms in?
No, it's all the leftover scraps of meat and the pork, the pigs, the hogs.
That's not our definition.
No?
No, not even close. Even Hazard doesn't want to give it to you.
Oh, I'm getting a shaky head there.
He is so darn liberal with giving you the right answers.
Well, the pork barrel is where all the scraps go.
No, not.
The mismatch.
Nope.
All right.
Giving up?
Yeah.
The spending of government funds on projects designed to ingratiate legislators with their constituents.
Yeah, it's like bribing. It's like,
that's not what you said.
No.
You said you were throwing all the scraps in the barrel.
Yeah, but it's like the big pork spending bill. You've got everything for everybody in there.
You got it wrong. Face it.
Whatever. Fine.
What Bill told
you know
me
what?
The other day?
I am so
Quit
comfortable
so
in my skin that I don't need your approval.
No, you just need to get the answers right.
Right.
All right, Ron, your next word. Wow, we got a lot of them today.
How many? I don't have time.
Five, six, including the one from Sunoco.
Brit, I thought there were 3 or 4.
No. We can cancel one if you want.
Yeah, let's cancel one.
But I don't think you're going to get them, so we're going to roll with them. Just hurry up.
Find the hardest one.
3 chances at the definition as a noun.
Yeah.
It's earliest. Man, this paper's sticky, Hazard. What happened to that? Coming here.
Hazard?
Bad head giving me sticky scripts. Earliest documented use was in 1793.
Did you get donuts before you showed
no,
up?
No, it was next to the,
What was next to the what?
There was some interaction going on. And...
Okay.
1793. Did you get that?
Yeah.
3 chances at a noun.
Yeah.
We'll say it's from the Latin or the Greek or the French.
Okay.
Railbird.
Railbird?
Mm-hmm.
Railbird?
Railbird.
R-A-I-L?
Bird.
All right.
Not like train, like the train rail.
Yeah.
But railbird.
A rail bird? A bird that sits on the rail?
Nope.
Someone who's doomed to be hit by a locomotive?
Nope.
No.
How about a sentence?
Sentence, he says. A lot of railbirds surrounded one of the tables. She couldn't see who was playing, but she sensed at once that it was a money game.
All right, so that would be a crowd of people around a gambling table.
I'm going to give that to you.
Yep.
A horse racing enthusiast is definition number one. Definition number two is a spectator at a contest. Mm-hmm. And definition number three is an observer who offers uninvited advice or criticism.
Oh, like Hazard or, in the show.
Yeah. Or, you know, comes in and starts talking about the dishes in your sink.
I'm at 75% right now. Not a bad night here.
All right. Here's the last word from our producer. And then we got the one from the increase your vocabulary screen at the gas station yesterday. This one, its earliest documented use was in 1565. Its earliest documented use, I said that was in 1565,
that's
right?
That's 400 years before I was born.
And that's good, because that's about the time zone you live in. let's see. Three chances at its definition as a noun. And that word, Ron, is moon calf.
Moon calf?
Moon calf.
Okay. M-O-O-N-C-A-L-F.
Moon calf.
All right. So that would be someone born during a full moon.
No.
Animal.
Mm-mm.
But give me a sentence.
I'll have to stand about on the sidelines, leaning on my crutches like a poor, pathetic moon calf.
Hmm. Well, someone has an injury. So it's a weak or injured
No.
Animal?
No.
What, I don't get it then.
No, you're not even close.
Really?
No. I tell you, this has nothing to do with cows.
Well, it's got calf in it, C-A-L-F.
It does.
So it would.
There's even a picture of a cow on the sheet here.
Does it look like a moon calf?
Mm, yeah, well, there's a picture of a moon and a picture of a cow.
Uh-huh.
Moon calf, but that's not the definition. In fact, all three of the definitions involve humans.
So, moon calf.
Uh-huh.
So, if the guy's on the sidelines, he's not participating, he's injured, he's just a spectator, he's not...
That was the last word.
I know, but I'm trying to reason this out, because I've never heard the phrase moon calf. Other than if it were born at a certain time, it wouldn't be in sync with, you know, it's like a kid on the sidelines trying to get in to play with the grown-ups.
No.
Okay.
Although many people may describe Jeff Hazard as a moon calf, it is arguable that he is not. See how I did that, Hazard?
It's like an awkward, lost little boy. I have no idea.
Okay. Definition number one, a daydreamer or absent-minded person.
Oh.
Definition number two, a fool or a simpleton.
Okay.
Definition number three, a congenitally deformed person.
Oh, all right.
Moon calf. And now word.
Well, you know, technically an injured calf.
No.
All right.
Now it's time for the zinger in Ruth's honor. Found this one yesterday on the gas station TV. You ready?
Yeah.
It's a verb.
Okay.
Retrodict.
Retrodict?
Retrodict.
R-E-T-R-O-D-I-C-T. Okay, would that be to indict after the fact? Criminal.
No, not technically.
What?
Not according to the definition I've pulled up from Collins English Dictionary.
Well, retro means to go backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Dite, D-I-C-T.
Maybe it's retrodite, yeah.
Yeah.
Could be.
To indict. Or Kanoa. Indict, retrodict.
It was sepulture.
To go back and recharge somebody or to charge someone after the fact. I don't know.
No, not giving it to you.
All right.
To make estimates about the past using information from the present or other events from the past. Used in fields such as archaeology, climatology, and financial analysis.
All right. Well,
is it retrodite?
That's what retrodict? I would think. That's what I think it would be. That's what I think it would be.
Kanoa, quinoa,
yeah.
Sepulture, sepulcher.
Yeah. And that's how we play
Big Words with Ron. Going over the words, we got Black Dog, which is depression. Gaboosh, which means gullible. Pork barrel, which, what did I say? Was like bits and parts of legislation.
Throwing all the scraps into the barrel, which is wrong.
Keyword is to ingratiate yourself to your public. Railbird is horse racing spectator or observer. Mooncalf is a daydreamer, a fool, a simpleton. And retrodike is used in archaeology. So I did 50% this week.
Yeah, not bad.
Not bad. Should have done better. Okay, we're all done with that. All right, music time here.
You're in charge of the music this week.
Yeah, and we're remembering Mark Benka tonight. And he was a major Bob Seger fan. He loved that song. Hazard, you waking up there?
He loved that song.
Yeah, I'm here, baby.
Okay. He loved Bob Seger.
And one of our questions on the quiz, Hazard a Guess, has to deal with Bob Seger.
Ooh.
So, you know, we sent flowers.
We did. They're very nice. And thanks for taking care of that.
Well, yeah. And one of the things I said on the card was, on behalf of all of us at WAYN Radio, I said, rock and roll never forgets, and neither will we. That's Robert Clark Seger on Motor City Static with Ron Chuck Hazard. Remembering Mark Benka here on this Sunday night here. It's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers out there. And that's another reason why it's a little sad around here, because I miss my mama too. And yeah. I'm sure you miss your mamas too.
Mm-hmm.
All of us do not have our moms around anymore.
I used to buy my mom tomato plants for Mother's Day every year.
Wow.
I bought her birds this year.
Wow. I was in church earlier today, and it was kind of packed, so I'm in the pew by myself. I always go to church by myself, and I sit in a certain spot right in the middle.
So it's Hazard.
So this family comes in behind me, and there was a son, a daughter, mother, grandmother, and I believe the husband. Although
jeez, hate to be behind them. Yeah.
Well, I was in front of them, and it's funny because the kid, I'm just sitting there listening, face forward, and the boy, I forgot what his name was, but because he was talking all before the service, and he was like really high maintenance. So a point in
I don't know anybody like that.
Yeah. So a point in the service, the priest says, okay, everybody stand up, turn to each other, and introduce yourselves. So I just turned
right out to that.
Well, I know, but I turn around to this woman, and I said, I couldn't help but overhear, happy Mother's Day, but how do you survive with such a high maintenance kid? And she just started crying, laughing. It was like so funny.
Wow, you called her kid high maintenance?
Yeah.
You're lucky you didn't get slugged.
No, because she knew it. She was getting a little peeved at him, too.
Oh, okay.
So I guess you had to be there.
I guess you had to.
Had to be there.
All right. We got to take a break here, but before going to the break, I want to go back to one of the bits that we did during the 2013 Christmas party here at the mansion. Here's Mark Benka talking about his job in the car dealership. All right, this is Motor City Static, and we are at WBFH.fm, streaming all over the globe. We also have a website, MotorCityStatic.com. I know you talk about that at work all the time, don't you, Mark? No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, MotorCityStatic.com.
You know what he does?
What?
We need to call somebody at his work and find out if he's lying or not.
When Mark pulls all the cars out before the customers are ready to pick, you know, when they come to pick their car up, it's all tuned to 88.1 when they pull up.
Exactly.
I like that.
Yeah, I got to tell you something funny. One of my friends is opening up a lounge, cigar lounge. Okay, and she's looking for help. They're hiring. I said, why don't you hire me for your general manager? I'll quit my job. She says, how are you gonna tell everybody about us then? I swear to you, it's funny.
That's a true story. Okay, we have to take a break. And we'll be back after these messages. Motor City Static here. I always have to open the mic. I keep forgetting that.
Yeah, when you want to talk and people to hear it.
Sorry. Anyway, before the break, played a clip of Mark Benka on the broadcast from 2013. Paul Harris, Ruth Scourin was in there, and I think...
it's me.
Yeah, it was you.
Yeah.
So that was pretty darn funny.
And I got a question for Hazard.
Yeah.
Hazard, you've been delivering flowers for the Mother's Day holiday.
Yep.
How'd that go? I know we talked a couple times, and you were out in the middle of nowhere, but, you know, did you bring joy to people when you dropped off the flowers?
I brought joy, except the one I had to stop yesterday where the guy goes, who sent these? I said, I don't know. He said, "Mom's been dead for 20 years. Why'd you send us?" "I don't know." I said, "Why don't you open up? There's probably a card inside."
"That's what you say, Hazard. Yeah, go on."
"My wife's in Florida. I don't know who sent this."
Uh-oh.
"All right."
"Did he take them?"
"Yeah."
"That's kind of spooky."
"Was it flowers or was it like an edible arrangement?"
"It was flowers."
"Okay. All right. Maybe somebody didn't know."
"You okay?"
"Yeah. Just a little nut action there."
Live and direct from the Rumpus Room at La Casa de Hazard, it's time to gather around the radio and play another installment of Metro Detroit's favorite radio contest, Hazard. I guess?
Hey, the Rumpus Room's been seeing some...
Rumpusing?
Yes.
Well, congratulations. I'm happy for you. Too much information.
There you go.
I lost my... Oh, here we go. Yes, kiddies, Uncle Ron is officially depleted. I'm a little bit embarrassed. Uncle Ron has officially depleted the topic bin tonight, and yet we still have a half hour of expensive and valuable broadcast airtime left, so we present a Surefire Network Time Killer. One that pits the incredible knowledge of our very own handsome, suave, slick, and debonair lady killer, Mr. Jeffrey Lee Hazard, the Earl of Spiffy, Exchequer of Bling.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, boom. I thought I got these teeth fixed. And he's Johnny Jump Up, right?
He's a lot of things. He's been giving himself his own nicknames, which you don't get to do. No. You don't get to give yourself your own nicknames.
Against the brain power of our bright, attractive, erudite, and deeply learned Chuck Riffenberg.
That's me.
Gather around the radio, my friends. If you're not too careful, you might learn something. Big Daddy.
Yo.
Stop trolling. You ready?
I'm not.
He's not trolling.
He's not?
He's not trolling.
I am
well,
not
Well, good
trolling.
For him.
He's been reading news.
Yeah.
And looking at the Facebook there.
Yeah.
And looking for, but he has not, and I repeat, not,
not.
Been on the dating sites today.
Good. Yeah. Congratulations.
First time for everything.
That's yep. right. All right. Mark Benka passed away last week. He was meant a lot to a lot of us. He just loved life, his friends, his family, his son, his daughter, his wife Kathleen, his mama and daddy, his brother Mickey, his sister-in-law.
He loved everybody.
Tricia, yeah, and his...
I sell petrol products and petrol...
I was trying to find that.
Oh.
We had a Hank Hill off between Jabbo and Benka, and it was just hilarious because they both sounded the same.
A Hank Hill off?
Yeah.
What's that?
That's from King of the Hill, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Hank Hill, the daddy. Idea.
It's a cartoon.
It's a cartoon.
It's the guy that did, I think it's the guy that did Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, Mike Judge. Okay.
That I know about.
All right, so in honor of Mr. Benka, I have three questions.
Okay.
From three different subjects that are tied to him.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, bring it up.
So we already know he's a Bob Seger fan.
Right.
He was a Bob Seger fan. So, Bob Seger recorded two albums, Smokin' OPs and Night Moves, in a studio that was located under a bowling alley. What was the name of that bowling alley, and in which suburban Detroit city was it located?
Whoa.
Yeah.
A bowling alley?
Yeah.
Can you hear bowling pins in the background on
that's
the album?
That's why I brought this up. Because, Bob was managed by Punch Andrews, has been, for a long time. And when you start out in rock and roll, you have to record where you can afford it, or... Friends of friends. We've had recording studio engineers and owners here on the show. So, there are various places you can record.
And sometimes the basement of a bowling alley, I'd imagine, would be quite cost effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wonder if they ordered french fries. I was in the bowling league.
Bowling alleys have the best cheeseburgers, too.
Yeah, we always ordered french fries. 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, we'd be ordering french fries.
Wow. So, I'll give you a hint. This bowling alley is no longer in existence. There's a for sale sign in front of it. Last time I checked. And it's in the Macomb County area.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I know. Can I just give you the location of it?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Hazard.
Bob Seger recorded two albums, Smokin' OPs and Night Moves. And OPs are other persons, right? They're cigarettes.
Smoking OPs. Other people's cigarettes. Yep. Yeah.
He recorded that in a studio that was located under a bowling alley. What was the name of that bowling alley? In which suburban Detroit city was it located?
You said I could just give you the location.
Yeah, give me the location, too, because we're kind of pressed for time.
I'm going to say...
I know I've driven by it.
Yeah, you have.
Many times.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
It's close to us, geographically speaking.
South of here, right? Southwest of here?
It is southwest of here.
Come on, Hazard. How many more clues do you want me to give you?
A bowling alley. Or the suburban city in which
it's in Fraser.
Fraser.
Yep.
Fraser.
It's not Grosbeck.
Grosbeck and Fraser. Yep. Okay.
That one on 13 and Grosbeck?
The old Continental Lanes?
The old Continental Lanes?
Continental's gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
Yeah.
And well, this bowling alley is gone too.
Continental was at
Gratiot 13.
Yeah, Gratiot 13.
No, I'm thinking of the one that's on Grosbeck that Chaplin's was next to.
Oh. Oh. Yeah, that Fountain View.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not the one I'm thinking of.
Good.
I'm thinking of the one in Sterling Heights off of Shaner. I want to say it's near 14 Mile, but it might be 15 Mile.
Wrong street.
Unless you're thinking of like Plumbrook.
No.
17 and.
Guys give up?
17 no. Mandate.
No. I know I've driven by this bowling alley.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a Kmart near it?
No. Triangle Building.
It's not in Sterling Heights?
No. Just south of Sterling Heights.
So it's in Warren.
Oh! Can you name the alley?
Is it on Van Dyke?
Ooh, closer.
Oh, Pampa Lanes.
Is it Pampa Lanes?
Are you asking me?
It's Pampa Lanes.
Pampa Lanes. That's right. And I didn't ask Hazard if he wanted to change his question, but
we'll give him the point.
Give him the point.
I got the point.
The albums were recorded at Pampa Studios in Warren, which resided in the basement of the Pampa Lanes bowling alley. The bowlers had to be stopped from time to time in order to record the tracks. As Punch Andrews, Seeger's longtime manager, recalls, sometimes the bass was enhanced by the rumble of the bowlers on lane 17.
That's funny.
I thought it was lane 12 or lane 17. Sorry. All right, question number two. Every now and then, Mark Banke enjoyed a good cigar and sipped bourbon whiskey. It was his way to relax and enjoy the good company of his family and friends. What is significant about the barrels used to age bourbon whiskey? Every now and then, Mark enjoyed a good cigar and sipped bourbon whiskey.
Man, these are tough questions.
It was his way to relax and enjoy the good company of his friends. What is the significance of the barrels used to age bourbon whiskey?
Hazard, this is right up your alley, well, Mr. Well Whiskey and Coke.
Yeah, well.
Tuck that lung back in. Let's go.
The barrels are imported from China with cereal in them, Fruit Loops.
Giving the bourbon a sweet taste.
Yeah.
The barrels are charred.
Well, that goes without saying because they have to make it. But what's the significance of the barrels themselves? How are they used?
What do you mean, how are they used?
How are they used? By law, you can't do this with a bourbon whiskey barrel.
No kidding.
Yep.
I'm not going to get this one. I'll tell you right now.
Yeah. The Federal Standards of Identity for Distilled Spirits.
You can't. Take it over the Niagara Falls first before you make whiskey in it.
Hazard?
Bourbon whiskey.
You're a connoisseur of whiskey? Bourbon whiskey. No, no. Is it from...
He's a connoisseur of cheap whiskey.
Yeah.
Let's not be mistaken.
Yeah.
He likes things that start with five o'clock.
They're aged.
Yeah, they're aged, but specifically, what is significant about the barrels?
Oh, you can't reuse them.
You can't reuse them. Chuck, what's your answer?
My initial answer when you asked this question was they're made of oak.
Yes, they are.
But that's not the answer.
Is that your answer?
Yeah, they're made of oak.
They're made of oak. Hazard, what's the answer?
Can't reuse them.
Can't reuse them. They can only be used once by law. Bourbon whiskey cannot be called such if aged in a used oak barrel. It's a new barrel spirit.
Okay. Didn't know that.
Yeah, and bourbon is a product of the United States. Legally, if you make it in France and ship it over here, it's not bourbon. Okay?
Now, let me get a clarification on this. Can't be reused. It can't be reused to make bourbon.
Right, but they can be reused
for beer.
Well, other spirits.
Yeah.
Other spirits, yeah. Okay?
Yeah. Like well whiskey that has a drink.
Basically, whiskey's made from a grain mixture that is at least 51% corn. It's aged in new charred oak containers, distilled to no more than 160 proof. That's 80% by volume.
It's corn squeezins.
Yeah, that's exactly. And there's
let
no.
Let me get a corn squeezins and Coke.
There's no minimum specified duration for its aging process. So that's that. All right. By the way, since 2011, Jim Beam has employed barrel rinsing on a large scale to extract bourbon from its used barrels, mixing the extract with a 6-year-old Beam bourbon to create a 90 proof product that it sells as Devil's Cut. So if you see Whoa. Devil's Cut, that means, you know, because you figure 2 to 3 gallons of bourbon soak into the barrel, right? So if you just give that barrel away, that's 2 or 3 gallons. So they rinse those barrels out, reclaim that, and then blend it in with.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Wow. That's like your grandma making, making corn something out of Easter dinner or something.
That's right. All right. Final question here.
Hazard's winning, by the way.
Yeah. Mark worked a number of years at Skate World. We made reference to that. Skate World and Troy. He worked every job there from, gate guard to a disc jockey, whatever gate guard does. So this next question involves roller skates.
I got a brand new pair of roller skates.
The first recorded invention of quad roller skates is 1760. John Joseph Merlin attached metal rollers to a wooden plate with straps to create his prototype. His big reveal, by the way, Chuck, you'll find this humorous, resulted in him crashing into a large mirror at a masquerade ball.
That's probably what I would do. He should have got the quarters for the pinball machine.
That's right. Mr. Merlin's roller skates were very basic American. So James Plimpton found a way to make a very usable pair of skates. Plimpton's skates had two parallel sets of wheels, one pair under the ball of the foot and the other pair under the heel. The four wheels were made of boxwood and worked on rubber springs. Plimpton's design was the first dry land skate that could maneuver in a smooth curve. Now, this is considered the birth of the modern four-wheeled roller skates, which allowed for turns and you can skate backwards. So all of this wind up for this following question. In 1876, someone decided that it would be a good idea to have this feature installed on roller skates. What was this feature? So I gave the whole run-up to 1876.
I know the answer to this.
Roller skates. In 1876, someone decided that it would be a good idea to have this feature installed on roller skates. What is this feature?
Come on, Hazard. You're a skate boy.
A bell.
A bell.
A bell.
Ding, ding, ding. So you can let people know you were coming?
Yeah.
All right.
Seriously, a bell.
No, it's a bumper.
A bumper?
Yeah.
Specifically what kind of a stop or bumper? You're halfway there.
A rubber one.
Yeah. Where is this stop or bumper at?
Look, mounted on the front.
On the front?
Yeah.
Okay.
Chuck. On the toe, I believe. Toe. Yeah. The answer you're looking for.
This is the toe stop.
So do I get it right and he gets it wrong?
Well, it's the front.
Hey.
It's not what's on this paper here.
None of this pork barrel answers.
That's right.
So
no, Hazard gets a zero.
Don't even start with me. I was in the parking lot.
Did you make it to the show, or did you stay out in the parking lot? You stayed out in the parking lot.
I didn't catch the opening act.
I got the ticket. I saw both bands.
Oh, I didn't see the opening act, but I'm in there for the main
act.
All
right, let's wrap this up here.
It was a tie.
That was a tie.
Sure.
Okay, Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network. I'd like to dedicate this song.
To Jeffy?
To Mark Benka. Oh. What a fitting song, huh? One Republic, I Lived.
Mm-hmm.
Send that out.
That's a good one.
Personal dedication from yours truly to my dear friend, Mark Benka.
Now, real quick, Ron, you can tell me. I don't know. Where did this puka thing come from?
Because he wore puka beads. You know what puka beads are, right?
Yeah.
Those are the little shell necklaces.
Yeah.
So I assume that he wore them when he was at Skate World. Because, you know, the 80s, Miami Vice, the
puka. At Skate World, he wore them at WAYN.
Yeah, he always did. He always had puka beads around him.
Did he? I didn't know that.
Okay. Yeah. And
I always called him Miroslav when I saw him.
Miroslav.
Every once in a while, a puka would slip out, but I usually called him Miroslav.
Miroslav, yeah. My puka.
What a beautiful. Such a cool name.
Yeah, what a cool guy. So I'm going to miss him. You're going to miss him. He's going to miss him. We're all going to miss him. And
you know, he is part of the reason for my success in my current career.
Please explain.
Because I have to talk to folks that deal or work at car dealerships a lot.
Right.
So when I first started in this business, I always pictured myself talking to Mark when I was talking to the service managers in such a car dealerships. And then I was just like, I was talking to a friend all the time.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
Yeah. So I, you know, pictured Mark on the other side of the phone and we'd get it done.
Yeah.
He helped me out a couple times with some cars. Got me that truck that I smashed. Helped me get that. And he helped me when I had that.
Didn't you buy that white truck at his dealership?
Yeah, the white one that I smashed.
Wow.
And then I had another car that I bought that came with, I bought a warranty with it. And the dealership wasn't going to honor it, the warranty. They said I needed to take it to independent. And I said, wait, when I bought this thing, you people told me that, you know, I could bring it here. And they're like, well, no, we don't deal with Pontiacs. And he was working at the Cadillac dealer at the time.
Oh.
So I called him, and I'm like, hey, I'm having this situation. He said, bring it in.
Well, that's what the priest...
So I did. He took good care of it. When I got it back, it was all clean, washed, like it was a Cadillac.
That's what the priest said at the eulogy, which, by the way, was a beautiful eulogy. Mm-hmm. I wish I could get a copy of that.
Do you want the Yugoslavian part or the English part?
No, the English part. But Mark would get things done. Mm-hmm. And if you were a friend, he did, no questions asked. Yep. I mean, what a great guy. And I know personally he's had some struggles. Mm-hmm. Who hasn't had struggles, right? Financially, yeah. It's rough. But the bottom line is he loved everybody.
Yeah.
He loved his wife, his kids, his brother, his mother, father, sister-in-law,
everybody.
Nieces, nephews.
He loved you if he didn't even know you.
Yeah.
Is unconditional love.
Yeah, and that's the best thing to have there. So, okay, that's going to do it for this edition of Motor City Static. We're going to play out with one of Mark's favorite songs and a very fitting song. So we will talk to you all next week here on the Biff Radio Network.
Well, Christmas Eve is always spent at my mom and dad's house. So my family, my brother's family, mom and dad... Just hanging around the tree, opening presents, eating your traditional Yugoslavian meal.
Which is?
I don't know.
Good food.
Good food.
See, look, he knows.
That's toast wonderful. With honey.
Actually, you know, like my mom, every year she makes stuffed cabbage. And it's a special stuffed cabbage for Christmas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we look forward to it every year. I mean, she makes stuffed cabbage throughout the year, but at Christmas time, for some reason, I don't know what she does. She ferments the cabbage for a month or something, but it's phenomenal. So stuffed cabbage, and we had venison. We had
what does she ferment it in? Like
it's like a vinegar based something. Right.
So
or other.
It's got a kick to it, huh?
It's got a kick, but it's excellent.
Yeah, I like I like sauerkraut that has good kick to it.
You'll love it. Mm-hmm. Come over anytime. Mom would love to see you. By the way,
I haven't seen her in decades.
I know.
Just call me up.
Yeah, we'll go visit her one day.
I would love to.
She'll make you fat. Won't she?
Won't be that hard.
You can't leave until you eat at mom's house.
Exactly.
Oh,
eat, eat.
Eat or you don't go anywhere.